About being involved in what God is doing, past, present, and future, because we're talking about time, very, very much about time. Time is a gift. Each moment has been appointed for our lives, which means no matter how we define it, good, bad, comfortable, uncomfortable, wanted, unwanted, God's providential hand has allowed that moment for a purpose in our history. So that's what happens. God has allowed the moment, and he is providing time for us to be alive in. And, of course, the Lord helps us to flourish. He wants us to flourish. And flourishing is just means growing and developing successfully. And it's the highest good of our human achievements to be able to flourish, to be able to do well. And to be as strong and as flourishing as a wonderful, beautiful olive tree, which is very biblical, olive trees. But I thought, well, also, they're banana trees. You know, they're a little more local, a little more common here. Flourish like a banana tree. And, or, flourish like a palm tree with its coconuts. The Lord wants us to flourish like those trees. He wants us to be alive and fruitful. He has been doing that for us before, and what God has done before, he will do again. God is about what he is able to do then, he is able to do now, and wants to move us forward. He is going to do these things in the coming days and weeks and months and into the new year. And one of the greatest ways of defining your goals for the new year is to say this: my yearly goal is to start with God, to stay with God, and to end with God. And in that you are enfolded into his love and faithfulness. And we are then a people shaped by God's love. Stole this from a sermon slide from some First Baptist church in Rockport, but his title is perfect. People are being shaped by God's love, just like that tree, which may be blown in the wind. It may be one of the trees out there on the edge of the cliff of Guam with those trade winds blowing in, and you know, you see that tree just blown over to the side. Well, that's God's love shapes us, and what God does is he's always testifying to us that he's full of an enduring love, an undying love that is here for us to be sustained by and to be nurtured by. And of course, he sent his Son into our world to embrace it and to embrace our existence in it and to bring grace to it. The amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is poured out into the world, into our time and our space, so that we may experience it and that we may be renewed by it, that we may gain hope from it, that we may gain power and strength to bring forward the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has been talked about, how it was shared in the life of Caleb by Rose, who's talking about him being discipled by Neil and by others in faith, church, community, in the community of Guam. And the good news, the gospel of Jesus, which has been, we're praying that it is good news for Irene's family in California. We're praying it's good news for Sandy's neighbor who needs a promise of hope and encouragement, and needed for Peter's people in the Mokalese community who are mourning the loss of one of the translation members. We're praying for their church and their well-being down there, so that they can carry on the work. We're thankful that they've been able to put so much time and effort into translating the scriptures into the word that they can understand. And may we always be found faithful in sharing this good news in the new year. And remember that God is saying always, he's making things new. He's going to give us new opportunity, new vision, new strength of faith, to be able to have a blessing from God in the new year we're going to enter. Let us pray a moment, and we'll read some scripture from Isaiah 61. Dear Lord, thank you for the word. which has been placed before us to study and know and learn and to be edified by. It is a living word that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to have meaning for us, Lord. We seek its meaning. We ask that you may help us in places where we do not understand. May you grant us wisdom and encouragement from it. And we thank you, Lord, that through the many, many writers of the Gospels and the Old Testament, the writings of Paul and the others in all different parts of the Bible, we thank you that you inspired them and helped them to write encouraging words to us in our time and in our space. In Jesus, and may you illuminate us now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So our scripture reading is from Isaiah 61 at the end, which really is about promising for the future. And here Isaiah says, this is word of the Lord. God is speaking to his people. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is a reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. Now we are called to bless the Lord. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Because what is always true is that the Lord is the same yesterday, same today, and the same forever. May we bless his holy name. That's the baseline of who God is and what he is doing over the span of earth's history. God is blessing his people. He's guarding his people. He's granting them wisdom. He is going to sustain them because of his faithfulness. And in that faithfulness, he can overcome all of the sin and rebellion that may occur in us. God can overcome that through time and history. But we always ask the question, what is the purpose of existence? Why are we here? What do we know to be really true? What does it mean to exist? Do humans have free will? Does God exist? These are questions that come to us as we think about the whole shebang, I call it, the whole shebang of life. Are we here by an accident or by design? Are we just an accident of atoms and stardust and oxygen and a certain pH in our oceans? Or are we here because God meant us to be? Isaiah testifies loudly that it is by God's design. God put the pH level in the ocean so to sustain life. He put oxygen into our atmosphere so that we can be breathing and living. He designed us and put our atoms into place and made them work. Atoms themselves are a mystery, right? Proton, neutron, and electron. I think it is something like that. I'm not an atomic scientist. But what we do know is that God has put us here by design. And one of the things that happens in the story of Israel that we pick up on from Isaiah 61 is there is sin and rebellion in them. If you read the book of Isaiah, you know he starts out with judgment. He's pretty disappointed, or bringing the disappointment of God onto the pages of the scripture in Isaiah, that there's so much sin and rebellion in his people. And it breaks God's heart. And what God says is there are consequences for this sin and rebellion. In the timeline of Israel, God will lead his people. He'll be with them and he'll be revealing himself to them, lead them through the Exodus from Egypt and slavery, through all their experiences. But in 587, they are banished into exile into Babylon because of their sin and rebellion. And what God brings into their midst is the armies of Babylon, who are quite forceful, and they're very merciless. They're merciless people. They drag Israel from their home into exile, and they have also pillaged and stolen everything from Israel, leaving them with nothing. The way they operate is to completely humiliate the king of the conquered peoples, to enslave the peoples. And here's a kind of an ancient inscription of them. The Assyrians are all, the Babylonians are at the top, the ruling army, and the Israelites are at the bottom, climbing the hill, carrying their burdens and being put to slave labor. And that is the way of it. And one of the things that the Babylonians do in Jerusalem is they destroy the city and they destroy the temple. And they carry off all the accoutrements that they use for worship, their candelabra and the gold implements, the bowls and everything else that they use for their animal sacrifices. They ripped it all away and they just put it all in Babylon and made themselves rich. The Israelites are brought into shame and disgrace. That's what Isaiah 61 verse 7 begins with. There's shame and disgrace in Israel. Poor little Daniel is one of the young men who is taken off and forced to work for the Babylonians. And what God says is that such a calamity, which he talks about through his prophets, is because of their corruption and their sin and rebellion. Because what they did is they corrupted the house of God's honor and made it a place of dishonor. They corrupted the house of praise, which was to give people opportunity to draw their hearts up and praise the Lord. And they corrupted it into a house of oppression, abuse, lovelessness, greed, and murder. So when God says in how he hates robbery, in verse 8, he says, I love justice, I hate robbery and wrongdoing, he's talking to the people of Israel, and he's talking to the people of Babylon. He's going to bring his judgment upon them, saying that there will be consequences. There are things which God hates, and God hates those things that I mentioned, oppression, abuse, lovelessness, greed, and murder. And so he banished his people into exile, bringing the consequences upon their sin. God gave them his law, and his law was perfect. His law revealed what they needed to know about worshiping God in a house of honor and praise, and what they needed to do to serve their neighbor, to be loving and be an impact upon those around them. And from time to time, Israel would read God's law and remember how far they had fallen away from it, and that God was telling them to do the opposite of what they were practicing. So don't let that happen to you, people of God. Don't let what you practice be the opposite of what you're preaching. May your practice and your preaching be integrated. May it be together. May your life tell the story about who God is. Because when you forget, you fall into shame and disgrace. And even in this situation, God speaks his hope. To forget God's law is a tragedy. It's our tragedy. A tragedy of life and a tragedy of any society, of any people, anywhere, in any place, in any time. God's judgments are clear in Isaiah. They're heavy and they're full of dire consequences. In Isaiah 61, God changes and says, I'm going to bring a restoration. God, through Isaiah, speaks a message of judgment and then speaks a message of grace. And God promises a full and complete restoration and even blessings beyond what they can imagine. Because instead of your shame, in Isaiah 61 verse 7, he says you will receive a double portion. Instead of your disgrace, I'm going to give you your inheritance, and you are going to have a double portion in your land, and you will have everlasting joy. That's God's promise of fulfillment. The language is superlative and wonderful. Verse 8 is very clear. This whole promise and fulfillment is about taking them from the exile into restoration, into fulfillment of life. Isaiah 61 verse 8 is very clear. God loves truth and justice. He wants them to be the defining hallmarks of his people. He wants us to be full of truth and justice and being able to love like Jesus did. That's what the message of the Sermon on the Mount is all about in Matthew chapter 5. God is going to establish truth and justice in our lives once we've surrendered our lives to him. And so we ask the question. It's an evaluation, really. Have you spent a considerable part of your time this past year ensuring justice and truth are in your daily activities? No matter if you're at a desk doing a mundane job on a Monday, feeling the Monday blues, think about doing it with whatever you're doing, that you will bear witness to the truth and that you'll be doing it in the right way. Because that is the beauty of being with God. God will teach you to do the right thing no matter what else is happening around you. A woman was just recently telling the story of how she went to middle school, and she was going into the classroom, or into the dining hall, and no one gave her space to sit down. No one sat with her. She sat by her own. And she said for 2 years she went through bullying and harassment. No one was willing to say, for the sake of truth and justice, for the honor of God, I'm going to befriend this girl. She went to a different school after that experience where it was safe and affirming and she could flourish. That's what God wants. He wants that to happen. So if you're in a place where there isn't enough truth and justice going on, make it happen. Make it happen. Break through the demonic hold of people where there's darkness and bring God's light into that situation. This is what we hope for. This is what we pray about. Because we know God is faithful. Are we being faithful? God is faithful. Are we reflecting that? We have a moment today to remember how we have served God's purposes and set aside time and resources to do good and make our world a better place. We're remembering how we may have been able to do that over the past year in 2025. And Galatians 6 verse 9 reminds us that let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Keep doing the good and be thankful for how God has used you for good in 2025, and pledge to him that you will make greater efforts and opportunity and space and time to do the good for God that he wants you to do in 2026. When we are doing the good, we ensure that the next generation who come into place will also do these things, because they will look at us as role models, as examples. That is really crucial. You know, that when you're doing something right, someone's eyes are on you. Someone's watching you. Someone's seeing what's happening. And they know that they can follow your path or you can lead them into corruption. It's important. The kind of work that we do as Christians on behalf of our world helps it be filled with the hope of justice accomplished, with the prospect of peace that flows from the truth prevailing over against the worldly lies that lead to destruction. We are to be people who are zealous for truth, who are absolutely committed 1,000% to justice. And in this world of where there are lies, we seek to break them down and to thwart them. Because God is going to be faithful to reward His people. God is faithful to keep His end of the bargain. Isaiah 61 verse 9, He says to the Israelites, He says, I'm going to restore you and I'm going to make you brand new. I'm going to give you everything that I have taken from you in your exile and I'm going to restore you. And He does. And the books of Nehemiah and Ezra talk about the restoration of Israel. And of course we know that Jesus came into Judah and He came into Galilee. He came into His people and He was seeking to have come true that their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. They are a people the Lord has blessed. The incarnation of Jesus calls us to a life of obedience because we know that Jesus came into the world, into our time and into our space, so that we may be called to follow Him, follow His path, not the path of the world. To be called to trust and worship Him, no matter what. We may not fully understand why a certain circumstance is happening to us, but we are to trust God and follow the Lord Jesus anyways, even when things don't make sense. It's important for us not to just give pat answers to people. No pat answers. You know, pat answer is like, oh, God will work it all out. Or, you know, what goes around comes around or something. You know, I mean, people say all these things and they're not always the right thing. There are complications that you cannot fully understand, but bring faith into the situation that God is going to lead you and show you the way to get through it. He will help you find wisdom to guide your life, and He will help you to find resources to overcome the challenge and press forward in being shaped and molded by God's love. You do not need to live like this coming time, this future year, is the end of the world. Do not be full of fear. Rip up the fear, tear the fear, or let it be torn apart or removed from you. Although we did have 3 earthquakes on Christmas Eve. Did you feel them? We even had an earthquake this a.m., 6:30 or so. Yeah, people heard it and felt it. I didn't, but. So, you know, people say, you know, the birth pangs are happening. You know, the end of the world is coming. Well, that's okay because Jesus will return and reclaim His people. And we can be assured that it's a good day. If today is the day the Lord returns, it is still the Lord who brings it about, the end of time, and not anyone else. Don't be full of fear about the coming time. But act in the new year of 2026 to make the most of the time that you are being given. Live in expectation that God is going to meet you along the road of time, and He's going to give you everything you need. That the year ahead will contain things of great consequence which will matter to you fundamentally and deeply. Well, walk into them trusting in the Lord, knowing that He will give you the wisdom to find your way through it and into it. God has a plan for your life, and it's a plan to bring you great and good things, and He wants to bless you, as He says in this great passage of Isaiah 61. And you can be, like verse 10 says, delight greatly in the Lord. Let your soul rejoice in God. He's going to He has clothed you with garments of salvation. And He's arraying you in a robe of His righteousness. And just like the bridegroom and the bride get ready for a wedding, they look their best. They want to be looking splendid on the day. God is going to make you look splendid. God is going to make you worthy of the heaven itself. And He's going to make you look splendid, even though you don't feel it. And you may not experience it, but He is with you to do that. In all things, God wants to fertilize you and work with you so that you can flourish, like I was saying, like the banana tree, like the coconut tree. He wants to bring about a supreme harvest of all that pleases our Lord and reflects Jesus who is in heaven above. He wants to give you a good stewardship of your time and talents. Stewardship means just taking ownership and control of it, of using it well and offering it up as a gift to the Lord. The Lord wants you to end this year well and close it out, and remember that you are entering a new year with this promise of His. May the faith of God be with you this year. May the peace of God surround you. And may you be blessed each day going forward. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you promise, as the soil makes the sprout come up and as a garden causes seeds to grow, so you, the sovereign Lord, will make righteousness and praise spring up in the midst of all the nations, Lord. Thank you that even here at Faith Church, we are many nations. Just as we had Lincoln and Tlincoln sing to us in Cross Ryan, we have other Cross Ryan speakers here. We have speakers of other languages. We have people from many islands. We have people from different lands like the Philippines, Korea, Japan, and other parts of the world, Lord. We thank you that you are making us followers of Jesus who are fruitful and full of life and not full of fear, but full of love, being shaped and molded by your love, O Lord. Thank you for your speaking and working in our lives so that we can follow Jesus faithfully and without fear. In His name we pray. Amen.